So thank the Almighty, this is the 18th Kabbalah class, Chai, which is life. This class is given in the year of Hakel, a year where there's spiritual energy for inspiration to get closer to God when we get together in groups. And this class has been given in memory of my father, Olav HaShalom. This is the third in the subject of Shiras HaKelim, the shattering of the vessels. And we're going to focus exclusively today on the reparation, on that sheet, which I didn't make for all of you because we covered them all. This is the handout for those who are listening on the recording, which says that God created the word la'asos, to do, and I say to say it means la'saken, to repair. And we explained how when everything is, you don't need that sheet. I just noticed the first line, but we don't really need it for today. What we do need is the other sheet. So we spoke about how when things are separate, there's an intolerance, and I won't elaborate because we went through that last week. Now we're going through the reparation. So now that there had been the shattering of the vessels, and as a result of it, there were certain holy sparks that ended up in undesirable places. Now we have to find out how do we repair the world. And the way of repairing the world is that God injected into creation the ability for integration. Now we need to understand that integration in and of itself is not a normal state. In other words, fire and water are normally opposites. You gotta do something to integrate them. Maybe you put the water in a pot and the fire underneath. If you have a square, the square is not a circle. If you have oil, you have water, you can mix it, and after a while, it's going to separate. What the Almighty did when He set things straight is because the Almighty is all able, the Almighty is able to put opposites together. One of the things that we explained a number of weeks ago was how beauty, which is the characteristic of Tiferet, it is number 6 in the chart of the Sefirot, and I use the word art for that particular, which I translate here on the sheet as harmony. And what I demonstrated, just one example, which I know how to demonstrate, and there's many, many, many others, how you actually have opposites, agitating opposites, that come together to produce something special, and that's the only way to produce it, is by bringing the opposites together. What we're going to do now is we're going to learn about integration in a very detailed way. So I have, whoever's listening to the recording, if you have the Sidur, the Tehillat Hashem annotated edition, you can put your bookmark onto page 136 and 157. And if you have a different Sidur, then you will want to find the counting of the Omer and Ona B'choach. Ona B'choach is a prayer that's recited during the preamble of the morning, before the morning prayers. It's also recited at the bedtime Shema, and it's also recited before the song L'chododi of Friday night. And that is what we're going to use to explain it. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to look at the counting of the Omer, which is we're going to be recited from the second day of Pesach until that day that is the day before Shavuot. And the purpose of counting, so we were taught that why do we count those days, 49 days? Because the Jewish people were counting in anticipation for the giving of the Torah. But there's something a little odd. Because if we count in anticipation of something, we're counting how many days left. So I go, I don't know, to Hawaii in 10 days, 9 days, right? We count that way, 8, 7. But if we look at the counting on page 136, we're going to see, we count today is 1 day, today is 2 days, today is 3 days, etc. And the reason for that is that the purpose of the counting of the Omer is to improve our characteristics in preparation for the giving of the Torah. And we're going to see that printed in the Sidur itself. Now, I need to say that a number of things I'm going to say in this particular class, I'm going to say that they are my own, the conclusion of my own ponderings, because some of what we're going to do today, I have not been able to find sources on, and I've worked on this for years, for many years, and you're going to hear it today. This is actually the first time that I am presenting what we're going to do today, even though it's been my head in all these years. But the general idea, when I don't make that when I don't make that point, then it comes something from sources. So what I'm saying now about it being preparation, that's what it is. So I want to call your attention on the Hebrew side on page 136. And if you take a look under the first day, where it says Ayom Yom Echad LaOmer, it says Chesed Shebechesed, kindness within kindness. After Hayom Shnei Yamim, today is 2 days, it says Gvura Shebechesed. Now we begin to recognize, you will not see this. Oh, in the English it's actually written also, right, on the inner side of the page. We recognize these terms because of the 10 Sefirot. These are, the Chesed is the first of the 7 emotions. And when we say emotions in general terms, we're including Malchut, which is expression or transmission. So, what do we mean when we say Chesed Shebechesed, kindness within kindness? Gvura Shebechesed, the next day is severity within kindness. What do we mean by that? What we mean is that on this first day, I should, if I'm to follow this mitzvah with its spiritual meaning, I should be focusing on repairing some of my character in that department, which we're actually going to get to. And I'm going to tell you a wonderful tool that's available to anybody in the world in this regard. But I'm going to continue pointing out things, but not explaining them fully, just because there's so much here that I have to do it in a sequence. So in the beginning, we're going to see some things, and what does it really mean? What does it mean to repair kindness within kindness? But the first thing we know for sure, the minute you see severity within kindness, you're seeing integration. See, that's why we got here. The reason that we got here, because God created the world to make reparation, so that we deliberately did the shattering of the vessels, where He made things each in its own circle, igulim. And after the shattering of the vessels, He sent His light to the world through Yosher, where there's higher and lower, which enables integration. And these 7 weeks, these 49 days, every single day is going to be another form of integration. So that's what we need to know so far. Now, I'd like to show you something on the inner side of the page, and it appears only in the Hebrew. And for this, we're going to use also the page 157. Now you'll notice that on the inner side of the Hebrew, on the first day, there is the letter Yud. Okay, just hold up to 157. For now, look at page 136 on the Hebrew side. And if I lose you, you have to interrupt me. That's very important. There's the letter Yud. Then there's the word Elohim, which is God's name, and then there's the word Ana. On page 136, you'll soon see, we're going to get to 157 in a second. On the second day, there is a Shin. Then it says Yechanenu. Then it says Bechoach. On the third day, which is beauty within kindness, Tiferet Shebechesed, there's a Mem. And it says Vivorchenu Gedulat. Now, why are those words here, and what do they mean? It means that when we recite that counting of the particular day, we are supposed to look at or think of those letters and words that are there. So on a very raw level, it means that somehow day one has to do with Yud, has to do with Elohim, has to do with honor. But in which way? That would already be a deeper Kabbalistic explanation. But what's really the objective here is, how would that Kabbalistic idea translate into personal refinement? And that's where the Hasidut element comes in, as we have explained, and we're going to do that now. So I'm going to call your attention, we're going to be flipping pages from 157 to 136, and we're only going to focus for now on the second word on each day. That word on day one is the word ono. Go to 157, and there's a prayer on top of the page. It says ono, which means we implore you. Yes? Yeah. On page 157, right here, it says ono. You see that?
Yeah.
Or ana, if you're saying with a Hebrew accent. Okay. The next day, it says bechoach, day two. And on page 152, what's the word? The word bechoach. The next day, day three, is gedulat. And on 157, we say the word gedulat. And as you can well imagine, that's how it continues. But I'm going to show you something on page 136. After gedulat comes yemincha, then tatir tzrura. All right? Six words. But what's on day seven? An abbreviation. Two abbreviations made up of six letters. Turn to page 157. And you will see that abbreviation written on the inner side of the page on 157 after those six words. Now, here's the interesting thing. When we recite 157, Ona Bechoach, it says, the following is said in an undertone. When reciting Ona Bechoach, look at or visualize the divine names formed by the acronyms of the words as they appear in the left column, but do not say them. Now, both these things, what we're being told on 157 and what we're being told to do on 136, is very odd. Why is it very odd? Because when the Alter Rebbe did his research on more than 60 versions of the Siddur, to put a corrected version, because these were not printed, these were handwritten, even though the printing press had been invented, but it was very expensive. What is the definitive version of the Siddur according to the Arizal? The Alter Rebbe researched it for many years, and he finally edited the Siddur according to the Arizal. So this Siddur, you may call it a Chabad Siddur if you wish, but really that's not totally accurate. It's the Siddur according to the Arizal, but simply the Alter Rebbe did a thorough research to make sure that this was accurate. The Alter Rebbe, in doing this, the first Chabad Rebbe, let us know that he did not include Kabbalistic intentions. So for example, in this Siddur that I have here, which is, no, not this one, hold it. So for example, here's a Svardik Siddur, happens to be Svardik Siddur, and there are many Kabbalistic intentions when it comes to God's name that are inserted in the words. In fact, every time God's name appears, there's a whole bunch of Kabbalistic intentions. We don't have to look at them now, you can look at them later. And many, many people did and do daven that way. What do you mean Kabbalistic intentions? This word corresponds to such and such. But remember, that is Kabbalistic, which means that I know that the heavenscape parallels in such a format. That's not for everybody. The Alter Rebbe put his Siddur without these Kabbalistic meditations because he wanted his Siddur to be available to everybody. Which means that in the rare instances, and we are looking at two of them right now, where the Alter Rebbe did insert the Kabbalistic intentions, it means it is for every person. Which means that what I am showing you now, which as of now seems to be very elusive, what is it, what does it mean, is something that the Alter Rebbe really wants us to understand, which was one of the imperatives between me and myself to find out how does this relate to myself. And as I said, spent many years on it. Now, before we get into explanation, just for the completion of the subject, I want to point out that on page 136, the letters, I'm going to show you what they are, and I have not spent time trying to figure out, the parallel. But take a look at the letters. If you go down to the large letters on page 136, it spells a word, Yismachu. And the Vav is the last letter of that word. Then, Vav Yud is V, turn the page, 137, Rananu, right? Rananu, if you read down, Le'umim, Ki, and it goes on, it continues. And it's a verse in a certain chapter of Tehillim. And now, in the same chapter of Tehillim, there's other words, I'm going to show it to you inside, but look on page 136, the first word is Elohim, the next is, on day 2 is Yochanenu, the next is Vivorchenu, Yoer, Poma, Vitanu, Selo. If you turn for a moment to page, this is one of the places we say it, is on page 88. We say it in other places as well, we say it in the morning before Baruch Shema. You'll see that on the right side, there's a second paragraph. It says, Lamnatzeh bin Ginnis Miz Mashir, which is basically an introductory phrase, that this is a song for the choir master with his musical instruments. Then it says, Elohim, God. And it says, Yechonenu, Vivarchenu, Yor Ponav. It's the words that we were reading. If we go down half the page, half down the paragraph, it says, Yismachu Virananu Lu'umim, Kisish but amamishar, etc., etc. So I'm sorry. So the words that we read were yischmu v'ran l'umim, and I'm sorry. The letters were yischmu v'ran l'umim kisish but amamishar, and then the words were Elohim taka. From the second line, Elohim yichonenu v'chenu. That was the words. So how does that fit in Kabbalistic? I have no idea. I haven't spent time in it. I spent all this time on a Bechoach, and there's another reason for that which I'll mention soon. So I wanted to just, for the sake of completion, put that out there, but we're going to stick with on a Bechoach, because what we have concluded thus far for our purposes is that integration, which is really how we repair the world, what we do with the Sefirot, which is 10 Sefirot, each of the 10 Sefirot is subdivided by those very 10 Sefirot, and we're going to learn right now, today, how this works, because that's where integration is. So now, in order to show how this integration works, I'd like to take you on a journey, on the prayer, on a Bechoach, on page 157. So you can keep your books open now, to 157, and we're going to use it pretty significantly. So let me share something with you about Ona Bechoach. Where does Ona Bechoach come from? Ona Bechoach was composed by a sage of the Talmud. We're talking somewhere between 1700 and 1800 years ago, somewhere thereabouts. And his name was Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakomeh. But here is the interesting thing. What we are looking at on page 157, the prayer Ona Bechoach, is secondary to something else. What is that? The Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakomeh did not compose this prayer and then put these abbreviations. In Kabbalah we learn that there's God's name of a certain amount of letters. One of those names is a name made up of 42 letters. What are those 42 letters? They are 7 sets of 6. In each set of 6 is made up of 3 and 3. And you are looking at it on page 157. God's name of 42 letters is right there. We don't recite it. But I'll just show you something interesting. The second one, the second line, actually makes up a word, which is Kra Satan, which means tear the Satan. And you'll see this is actually going to relate to something. The other ones, I don't know what their meaning would be. The only other thing that I could say is that the very first set of 3 letters is Aleph Beis Gimel, right? The first 3 letters of the Aleph Beis. But here's the deal. What Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakomeh did is he took this name of God and put words to correspond to the letters. You see? So it came in the reverse order. The acrostic came first. And the letters came. Now, I must tell you some personal things about Ona Bechoach. And unless a person has a good grasp of Hebrew, classical Hebrew, it's hard to appreciate. But I find the poetry, the use of poetic verse, and the literally the wordsmithery, as in wordsmith, of how this is put together, I can't explain how moving it is. You know, in there's something which is hard for me to explain in English, but I'm going to, in Yiddish, for example, if you want to say a very simple phrase, you can say, my mother. I can say, mein Mama, my mother. But if I say the same two words and I reverse the order, I say Mama Meine, which in English, it becomes totally different. It becomes square. It means the mother of mine. But in Yiddish, Mama Meine is poetic. By reversing the words, it's just... Now, I don't know how to... Well, the only thing I could say is that there's something between the lines that's an intangible... I don't know how to explain it. That's just how it is. It thought it would be like that as well?
Mm-hmm.
In the Hebrew, so you have here, I'd just like to show you the first, some examples. I won't go through the whole thing. Ono, which is like begging, implore. Bechoach gedula simincha, with the strength of the greatness of your right hand. In Hebrew, it has a poetic flow, but it's leading up to a particular request. And that request, which is untie the bound, in the English they said release the captive. Tatir seruro. I can't explain in English why that is so poetic and why it grabs me. What I can tell you about those two words is that there's a certain concept in Yiddishkeit, and that is, without God you can't do anything. We're approaching Pesach, freedom. And I just heard a class yesterday, I believe it was, something just very, very beautiful and special. Somehow matzah, which is just bread and water, is supposed to represent freedom. Now I think this comes from the Chiddush Harim, which is one of the Gerer Rebbes. He wrote a... So they call him Chiddush Harim because that's the name of his book. So normally you can make matzah, you can make egg matzah, you can make all sorts of things with ingredients. But somehow freedom, which you would equate with, who knows, you know, a lavish feast, which is what we want to make the Seder, and we recline and all of that. But that thing that is showing freedom is just plain and tasteless. So I think it's Chiddush Harim. He explains that if we take a look at our character, if we have certain elements that we like or that we enjoy, on a certain level, we're enslaved to them. There's a store called Death by Chocolate. All right, somehow we all relate. Is that? Yeah. So there's a slavery to chocolate. Now, I granted, it's not the worst slavery on this planet, right? To the extent that you say death by chocolate, people want to go to the store, right? But we understand the concept that I'm enslaved to the chocolate. And the same thing is when you have just plain matzah, there's nothing but yourself. What do you mean nothing but yourself? Nothing is constraining me. How do you get to that point? Not on your own. You know why? Because since you're a human being, we are human beings. And we're affected by the world. We ask the Almighty to extract us from the constriction, which in Hebrew we call Meitzar or Mitzrayim, Egypt. Exodus of Egypt is God extracting us from our enslavement to those aspects of our character that enslave us. When we say these two words, Tatir Tzura, we say untie the bound. All right?
Untie the bound.
They say release the captive. It's the same idea. So, this is... So now, what I'd like to show you is how each of these lines follows the Sefirot. Now, I told you about how Tatu Shur to me is just so poetic. There's others. On the third line, the last two words, first of all, the third line is just, every phrase is just brimming with poetry. No Gibor, please, mighty one. And like I said, you say it in English, and it's like he just eviscerated every element of poetry to it. Dersh Echudecha, those who inquire your unity, Kevovas Shomrim, like the apple of your eye, you should protect them. And that, really, every pair of words is poetic. The sequence is poetic, and especially the last two words. And it doesn't say this in any book. I'm just telling you, just by the extent that I know Hebrew, it's just, it grabs me every time that I pause for just a moment to think about it. What I'd like to show you now is how each of these lines is predominantly corresponding to one personal characteristic. Because, and then we're going to see how each word is within the characteristic. And then at the very end, I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow you away. You'll see. So watch this. So the first is Ono. So first, Ono Bechoach Gedulas Mincha. We implore you with the strength of the greatness of your right hand. Yemincha, right hand. Yes, Yemincha is right hand. Now, I won't make you turn the pages, but in that piece that we did from the Tikkuni Zohar that's in the Siddur that we recited on Fridays, and Eliyahu, Elijah the prophet, talks about the 10 Sefirot, what does he say about the right hand? He said, Chesed Dro Yemina. The Chesed is the right hand. Right? The first line is the words that is recited in the first week of the Omer when we're dealing with the attribute of Chesed. You see that? Because this is all what we're imploring is supposed to happen with the strength of your right hand. Your right hand should untie the bound. So the theme, the focal strength here is the right hand, which is Chesed. Let's take a look at the next one. The next one, which is supposed to correspond to Gevura, severity. So it's very interesting that the abbreviation says the word Kra Satan, to rip the Satan, right? In other words, rip the severity. But let's look at the words. Kabel, receive. You remember how? Well, on the sheet in front of you, Gevura is in the left axis, which is the feminine axis, which is the receptive axis. Because remember, what is Gevura, severity? It is providing definition, firmness, right? It's receiving. So this line where the theme is Gevura, the first word is Kabel, receive. Kabel Rinas Amcha means receive the song of your people. In other words, we are reaching to God. In the left axis, we are always reaching upward. It's something that we spoke about in another class. I believe it was in the Kabbalah class. Because in Chochmah, in the right axis, you have Chochmah, something that God sends to us, right? Something comes to us. And giving Chesed is outflow. Netzach is the unstoppable energy. These are where we charge forward. But when we take a look at where we're reaching, on the left axis, Bina is development. I'm reaching for that intellectual thing and dividing it and characterizing it and thinking it through. And I am in Gevura, I am providing dimensions until here, no more, here, yes, here, no. I'm reaching. And the same thing with the Hod, which is appreciation. I'm reaching. We are reaching in this second line to God that you should receive. Sagvenu, strengthen us. Right? And that was, that relates, of course, to Gevura, which the translation of the word is strength, because it's the strength to define. Taharenu, purify us. In other words, give us the pure definition. Nora, awesome one. In other words, you have the power to do it. And the same thing goes with the next ones. earlier I said how the third line, at least to me, is just so brimming with poetry. I won't go through each of them, but I'll just tell you the key word. The word in the middle pair says Yichudcha, your unity. What's Yichudcha? Uniting, integration. What is the third sephira of the attributes Tiferet? Harmony, right? Art, which we've spoken about, right? Okay. And so on and so forth. We can go with each of them. The next one is Borchem, bless them. Taharem, purify them. We're asking God to do a forward motion corresponding to the characteristic of Netzach, which is unstoppable. Do you see what's happening? Mm-hmm. Right? And the same thing, we go through all of them. And what about the seventh? This is very important, because I wish we could go through them all, but we can't. Shavoseinu Kabel, we now ask God, you should accept our supplication, I suppose. Ushematzakasen, and hear what we're crying out, Yedetalomis, you know what's really the secrets of our heart. This corresponds to Malchut, which is expression. What are we saying? We're wrapping up everything here and saying, this is what we're delivering to you, our supplication. Please receive it. In other words, let the transmission of Malchut be complete. Now I'm going to call you back for a moment to page 136. Alright? Because when we are to refine the characteristics, one each day of the counting of the Omer, we go through six, Ana b'chomach gedula simin chatat yitzro. What do we do on day seven? Day seven has to correspond to Malchut, in which there's the transmission of all of them. What do we have? The abbreviation of all six. They all come together on day seven. You see that? Right? Okay, back to page 157. So now, let us, we're going to flip a little bit back and forth, so actually hold on to both pages. Let's now do just the first line. Did you want to ask something? Yes? Okay, go ahead. No, fine. So let's go through just the first line to see how the integration works. Because the first word is ono. Ono, we implore you. All right? The word ono, which is a palindrome, has the letter aleph, which is one, God's oneness, and at the end, one. And the middle is nun, which is 50, the numeric value of 50, which is, if you take the 10 sefirot multiplied by 10, the dead center, it would be 50, right? What we're saying is, so chesed shebechesed means pure outflow. We're imploring you because you can do the pure outflow, right? That's honor. But what's the next sefira? Is severity or gevura or definition, but gevura means strength. What's the second word? Bechoach. Strength. Yeah. Right? When you get, you see what's happening?
Oh, yeah.
The next one is Gedulah's greatness. When you bring the two together in beauty, you get something great comes out of it, an intangible. Just like, I can't express how profound and moving the poetry is. And this, any person who's had a profound experience in any art form, music would be a great example. Like a piece is just, right? When I hear this piece, I had a certain mashpia of Nissen Nemanov. There was a certain song. Anytime he sang that song, he would cry. It was a song that was composed in the Holocaust, so maybe there's some understanding there. But, right? Something there. Again, what's the fourth word? Yemincha, right hand. Which corresponds to Netzach, which is on the right axis, yes? And what is Tatir? Tatir means untie. Untie, and that corresponds to Hod, which is appreciation. Appreciation, so I'm thinking, who are you? You're this, you're this, you're this, right? And what's the last one? Tzura, which means bound. The next characteristic, which is Yesod, which I explained when we talked about Yesod, eager to transmit, how Chassidus explains that Yesod is bound with the transmission. The eagerness to transmit and the transmission are bound. is Tzerura bound, Yesod is bound. Mm-hmm. What are we seeing here? We're seeing how this first line, which is predominantly Chesed, is divided of each of these parts, because this is the integration. And every single one of these lines, and to be honest, I cannot do it perfectly with all of them, but I can do this with almost all of them. And all of this explanation is something that comes purely from my own pondering. Because I got to say, I did really seek out other classes. And I listened to two recordings. The second one I listened to was by a person I greatly respect. And now his name is just escaping me. And he's explaining Anu B'Choach, and he gave a very interesting introduction. He said, I should not be giving this class because Anu B'Choach is above me, right? This is a person who, at my level, I'd listen to his classes, you understand? There was another fellow who gave a class on Siddur where he said, we're going to start with the beginning of the Siddur, we're going to cover every single word. On one section called Baruch Sha'omar, I listened to all of his classes, 36 classes on one paragraph, and I loved every minute of it. When it came to Anu B'Choach, he talked about numeric values, elusive stuff, but nothing concrete. And I'm saying to myself, if the Alter Rebbe put it in the Siddur because it's for every man, it has to talk to me. And this is of my years of pondering. You're hearing it now. Yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah. So, all right. So now I'm going to tell you something amazing, because we're going to go a little bit later into the actual integration with personal characteristics. But when is Anu B'Choach recited? Anu B'Choach is a transitional prayer when, after going through one set of prayers, before going to the next, we want to reach out to the Almighty. If you should know that this name of God, which has 42 letters, is the name of God that corresponds to the Sefirah of Gevurah. Gevurah, which is remember, it's on the left axis, it's where we're reaching out to God that He should, His definition towards us should be good ones. That's why the second one says, tear the Satan. Which is why the whole prayer of Anu B'Choach is in the Gevurah mode. It's us reaching for God's strength. Please, with the strength of your right hand. Okay? The second line, Sakvenu, protect us. No giver, please, mighty one. Right? And so on and so forth. So in other words, what we've really seen here is the prayer on a B'Choach, which is the words corresponding to the name of God, that is the Sefirah of Gevurah. Within the Sefirah of Gevurah, we have two levels of integration. Level number one is where the first line is Chesed within Gevurah. Line number two is Gevurah within Gevurah. Line number three is Tiferes within Gevurah, and so on. And then we go onto the third level, where the first word is Chesed within Gevurah. The second word is Gevurah within Chesed within Gevurah, and so on. So in other words, you have a total of just 1 second. So in other words, what you have here is three stages. You have the Sefirah itself, then you have its sub and its sub. Now I'll tell you something very interesting. I just this morning wrote something to a Kabbalist who I absolutely can't get over him, Rabbi Greenberg in Tzfat. I wanted an answer to this question. I'm going to give you my own answer. Watch this. The first letter of the Aleph Bet is called Aleph, right? Now, in Hebrew numbers, you have names of numbers. So you have Aleph is 1. Then you have Eser, which is 10. Meir is 100. How do you say 1,000? Eleph. Eleph and Aleph is kind of, it's the same spelling, just the vowel's different. How do you say a bigger number? In classical Hebrew, you don't say a million. That was invented later, just recently, right? There is no bigger number. In the Torah, when they want to say 10,000, they say Ravava, which simply means very many, Rav. So Rav, Ravava means many, 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 right? How could a language like Hebrew not have a number bigger than 1,000. You think there was nobody who had more than 1,000 heads of cattle? You think there was never a king like Shlomo HaMelech who didn't have millions and millions of whatever the currency was of wealth? Why do you have to make life difficult to stop an elf? So I don't know for sure the reason, but it occurs to me as follows, that there's a relationship between 1,001, because when you take the 10 characteristics and you divide it, you get 100, and you divide it again, you get 1,000. And in Hebrew, we have the following principle, that anything that repeats itself 3 times means that that's how it is for always. So once you get from Aleph 1, Aleph 1,000, which is a total integration, that's how it goes on forever. That's the way I understand it. If he tells me that I'm wrong or something else, I'm going to share it with you. So now, what we're seeing here is that this Ona Bechoach is really 3 levels of this, right? There's Gevura, it's all within Gevura, and then it's within that the 7, and within that there's another 7. Now, having said that, now let's turn to page 136. And we're getting towards the practical. So what are we saying? On the first day, we say, Hayom Yom Echad LaOmer. Today is day one of the Omer. And the characteristic that we need to deal with today is Chesed Shebechesed, which I demonstrated how that's expressed in Ono. But wait a minute. Did I not say that the whole theme is personal refinement? Mm-hmm. Personal refinement is me reaching upward. It's a characteristic of Gevura. What is Gevura? The strength to define. Let's think about personal refinement. Let's say I have a sweet tooth, which I do. Within sweet teeth, I probably have one of the sweetest teeth. Sweetest tooth, right? So that's a real issue for me, is what I'm saying. Refinement of character for me in that department means the ability to define and say, sweetness until here and stop. Right? That's what it is. So Gevura, which is definition, that's me reaching for refinement, it's Gevura. So the whole theme of the days between Pesach and Shavuos, the 49 days, is one of personal refinement. It's Gevura. And within Gevura, you have the first day is Chesed within Chesed. All right. The next day is refinement of Gevura within Chesed. So what I'd like to say, and now we can see why we have the corresponding words of Ona Bechoach in here. So what I'd like to do now is I'd like to read together with you something that's available to you. There's a wonderful man in New York. His name is Rabbi Simon Jacobson. And he put out a book which is available online, and you can see it on this printed sheet. It's available at centerforjudaism.ca. It's also available on Chabad.org. And if you are listening to the recording and you type in Sefirat HaOmer, S-E-F-I-R-A-T, and the next word is H-A-O-M-E-R. So there's many subjects on it, and one of them is The Spiritual Journey. I don't remember what it's called, and it says by Simon Jacobson. And what we're going to share now is just from the first 3. Okay? And I know that you know how to read English, but I would like to do the reading as you follow with me so I can interject it with comments. So let's take these 2 sheets. Because what Rabbi Simon Jacobson has done, he's not explaining Ona Bechoach, but he is explaining how we can use these days to improve our character. So before you read, could you put it down for a second? What I want to say something about introspection. When we understand these 7 characteristics, and we understand practically, as we're about to read now, how it's 7 within 7, you know what it means? It means every single person can examine themselves on 49 levels. And I'm going to mention something about myself. Because the Rambam writes that with the exception of humility and anger, a person should never be extreme. He should always walk the middle of the road. Now we know that these characteristics have a right axis, a left axis, and a middle axis. If I'm too extreme on one side, there's a problem. Let's take a look at the sheet for a second before we go further. Let's take a look at the first one. Chochma. Okay? The spark, seminal idea. A great scholar called the Rabbi Tshuva Gaon said that the most difficult day for him is Shabbat. Now why would he say that? He was a holy man. Because he says the new thoughts are always rushing into his head. So during the week, he writes them down, which forces his brain to slow down. On Shabbat, he cannot write. So he has these new thoughts always rushing, and it's very hard for him to live with it. See, I'm saying that having being lopsided to just having creative ideas pouring through your head can be a difficulty.
Yeah.
But let's go to the left axis. Development of an idea. A person who's outstanding with analysis, but he'll never come up with a creative idea if he's lopsided. You see, we need to be balanced. We need to have some creativity, some analysis, and the same thing with giving and with firmness. Ultimate firmness is no to everything. And ultimate giving is let it all hang out. The 60s all over again, right? Etc. Unstoppable. You know what unstoppable is? Unstoppable is a person who talks your ear off and he won't let you get away and he just keeps talking. Hey. And what's appreciation and a lopsided version is of I'm just listening and thinking, but I don't say a word to you. Right? It's got to be a balance. So the thing is, if we can analyze our own character on 49 levels, in other words, 7 within 7, we can ask ourselves, where am I lopsided? I can tell you, and I'm not going to give myself away on this level, but I can tell you that I believe I can identify where on this chart I am lopsided, and therefore where my struggle has to be for me to go to the other direction in order to reach the center. Right? So in other words, knowing this that we are knowing now, it can help us analyze who we are and be, obviously if a person is already healthy to begin with, mentally, emotionally, he can then work on personal refinement. So with that in mind, let's take a look at the first day. He says, week one. So now I'm looking at the sheet that's written by Simon Jacobson. Okay? And he says, week one, where the general theme is chesed. He says, love is the single most powerful and necessary component in life. Love is the original foundation to all human interaction. It is both giving and receiving. It allows us to reach above and beyond ourselves, to experience another person, and etc. And his last phrase, this is very important. In a single word, love is transcendence. Meaning, beyond me. Life is not all about me. Look at me, give me, etc. So day one, chesed of chesed. Examine, he's giving that practical. Examine the love aspect of love. The expression of love and its level of intensity. Everyone has love in their hearts. The question is, if and how we actually actualize and express it. So ask myself, what is my capacity to love another person? Do I have problems with giving? Am I stingy and selfish? In other words, I'm going to paraphrase now. What if I could be loving without inhibition? What type of person would I be? See, let's remember how we got into this subject. We started off 3 weeks ago with the shattering of the vessels with Shira Sakalim, which we explained at depth, that when you have just separate circles, that I am me, you are you, never the twain shall meet, and if we do meet, then we're going to be knocking each other out. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, then you have the shattering of the vessels. Integration is where God makes it possible for an element to be tolerant of an opposite element. So now, even love within love, we understand love as being reaching beyond myself, transcendence. So I'm asking myself, to what degree am I prepared
to integrate. You see, that's the word, integrate. And I'll say something very specific here for the purposes of the recording. So someone who's in a marriage and they're having a rough time, which at some point or another is most of us at some point. Some people are just going out of their minds. Let me share that the male in the marriage is the right axis and the female is the left axis predominantly. You cannot be lopsided. You cannot be all male. If you're the male in the marriage, then your task is to reach and work with and be within the left axis. In other words, the one who's opposite you, the one who's has this way about them that you can't stand. And I'll say something just because I'm a guy. A guy cannot understand a woman looking at a closet with 100 outfits and say, I have nothing to wear. Now, I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just telling you that's a man. I wear black suits. I wear black Shabbos, weekdays. It doesn't make a difference to me. I am not interested in change. I only buy black socks here. I don't want to have to pair up different colors. I'm not interested. My wife gets me a tie. I wear it until it's useless. Okay. Now, just on the point of men and women, I just want to say this because of this purpose. God says, let us make man. And he says that God made man in his image. But Salmoi, but Salmoi kim bara isam. He made them in God's image, male and female. Because the first man was male and female together, which God then separated. So to the man, since I'm a man, I start with the man. You have a problem that your wife has this and this shtick. So which part of the divine image do you think is bad? Do you think the female part of being in God's image is bad? Do you see what I'm saying? This is God's image! And the same thing goes for the woman. Your husband has this and this habit that you just can't stand. Right? Whatever, I'm not going to pretend to know exactly what the first ones would be. But whatever it is, men are... You give yourself a sentence. Okay, which part of God's image in the masculine form do you think is bad? You see what I'm getting, right? So God, it begins with integration. Then he separated and says, now, oh, you know what? I want you to get married. I want you to integrate. What? Just a second. So what we're saying here is, even when we're talking all kindness, it's all transcendence, is if you have a difficult relationship with anybody, the question is not what a son of a gun he or she is. The question is, how can I live in the world of harmony and integration and change myself, because you ain't going to change the other person. Forget that. So, we're going to finish with this sheet of Chesed. Here it says, whom do I love? Do I only love the ones that I can relate to and who relate to me? Second last paragraph. That's a very important question. And I'm going to come back to marriage for the purpose of the recording specifically. What happens? We all pick our friends. Because those who we don't like, we're not their friends. Then we get married to someone who's opposite to us. Then all of a sudden you discover who you married. You know what? Everybody thought I was such a great guy. My spouse tells me this criticism, that criticism. That's because you only picked your own friends that are like you. In other words, people who are strong-headed people, they don't see their friends as being strong-headed. They think it's normal to shut the person out and yell at them. Kind of like, you'll excuse me, kind of like Israelis who are being rude to each other, they think it's normal. Or New Yorkers, when they're in Brooklyn, when they're rude, they think it's normal, right? But if you come here from Canada and you're nice and you're like, what is this? How could in Israel, how could you yell at each other and then hug each other, right? How could that be? The thing is, when you get married, so then you have to give pause and say, okay, I have to reassess. Let us now move in this work of integration. Let's go to Gevurah of Chesed. We're just going to do three. And I'm going to strongly encourage you to look this up. Take these sheets with you home and look it up on the net, because there are 49 of these plus an introduction. Day 2, Gevurah of Chesed. Healthy love must always include an element of discipline, right? Remember, we spoke about definition only to such a degree of distance and respect for the other. What's a good neighbor?
A good neighbor is somebody who respects your privacy, right? Mm-hmm. An assessment of the person's capacity to contain your love. Love must be tempered and directed properly. Ask any parent who in the name of love has spoiled a child, etc. Is my love disciplined enough? And he has an exercise for the day. Help someone on their terms, not yours. Apply yourself to their specific needs, even if it takes effort. You see, that's a suggestion of integrating severity with kindness. That's where we started. There's an integration here of severity with kindness. And as I said already a few times, all of this is within the sefira of Gevurah, of personal refining definition. Let us now move to the third one, which we will close with. And this is Tiferet, which is Tiferet of Chesed. He says, there is love, and there is beautiful love. True love includes empathy and compassion, which makes it a beautiful love. Love is often fostered in expectation of reciprocity. Real love is expressed even when one gets nothing in return, even when the other doesn't deserve love. So I'd like to share with you two separate types of couples that I have seen in my lifetime. None of them live in British Columbia. One of them is a husband and a wife. And the husband is always embarrassing his wife in public. It's like, I want to jump in a hole and I can't believe this woman who just takes it. That's one. Another couple, the wife is always making comments in the presence of others, knocking the husband. But this husband, he just smiles, and if you look at him, he just gives a wink. Do you see? Now you talk about love even when the other person doesn't deserve it. You see, the first example, that's Shviras HaKelim, that's the shattering of the vessels. Like, what are you doing? You're smashing this person you're married to. What are you doing? Right? Yeah. You know, right? There's your circle, and your loggerheads. And here the second one is just, wow. What I want to say, because I want to close with this, that the purpose of creation is reparation, as we've said so many times. Reparation comes about when there's integration, when you can not only tolerate but immerse yourself in something or someone that's outside of yourself. The 49 steps of doing so, I would encourage anyone who's listening to the recording and to you, go onto the website and find this, and it's unbelievable. Because in one of the classes he gave, he said he had to really work very hard to differentiate all of these 49. For example, you have kindness within severity, and you have severity within kindness. It's not exactly the same, right? So kindness within severity might mean when you don't let that kid play with the matches, that's the kindness that's within the severity. But what's the severity within kindness? That's a little bit different. It's that your love is measured that I don't smother you with my love, that you can't take me anymore. You see, it's the two words, chesed shebigvura versus gvura shebichesed, but they're two very separate things, you see. And he figured out all 49, and what I'm saying is that if a person would like to be themselves balanced, as you go through these, you ask yourself, where am I lopsided? And now I know what the opposite, go in the opposite direction until I hit the center. Right? So that's really our purpose. So there you have it.